You've done it, everybody. It's Friday. You got yourself through the week just about, and we'll do our best to see you off into the weekend in style on this Friday, January 21st. And for McCafe, our official coffee partner today, Fun Friday, locked and loaded, headlined by, well, an appearance of the best basketballer in the country, in Australia, Bryce Cotton, ahead of his 150th game on Saturday. Bryce will join us at 8:20. Haven't the Wildcats been dealt another raw hand? We'll get to that in a moment. BP with the latest from the Australian Open. There's plenty happening down at Melbourne Park. And Melbourne AFLW star Libby Birch ahead of their clash against the Saints tomorrow night. Join us over the course of the next few hours on the ENS Open line, 1300 736 736. And the texts on the Temper text machine, 0433 98 1116. There's plenty happening. There's plenty about, and there's plenty to talk about with my old mate here, Jenko. Welcome, JJ.
Samuel, good morning.
It is a morning. Good morning to you. It was like a bad sitcom the way we ended yesterday's show. Josh doesn't have pants. Will he make it on time? Will the photo be taken? What shop will be open? Find out next time. And yet I turn the pages of the Herald Sun.
The digital you clicked.
Yes, but it's scanned in, so it is the pages. Version. It is 2022, so it's the modern age, so you can actually read the paper online. And I'll flick to page 83, and there you are in all your glory. You and Dipper and Paddy Maloney and Michael D as well for Rapid Racing. And just as well you went and got your strides, because it's a big photo, big colour one, big colour job.
It's
almost from the thighs up. So the strides, though. Are they going to stay part of the rotation?
They're a very, very good number. Great addition to the wardrobe.
So what happened? Because when I left you yesterday at 9, you're in a panic. Understate things.
I was in a pickle.
You came in here with your shorts. You've forgotten your pants.
Yes, I had. So Joel Brooks, the man tasked with keeping Patrick Dangerfield's fishing show on the rails.
Joel Brooks, man.
Task in itself. Joel Brooks, he said to me, hey, I found a shop, General Pants at Melbourne Central opens at 9 a.m. Because a lot of the shops, as you alerted me to the fact, opened at 10. So he sent me to Melbourne Central, which is on the way to Flemington.
Because South Melbourne Market came in as a suggestion, around the corner here, open at 9. Gazman, again, around the corner, open at 9. You chose to ignore that.
I did.
You went into the CBD.
I went into the city.
In a sweat.
Yeah, empty. Absolutely desolate in there. Absolutely empty.
Was the clothing shop open though?
No.
Oh.
I refreshed the Google page. Open now. Not open.
Oh boy.
So I rang the lovely lady Kelly from Flemington and said, look, you've got two options. I'm going to put the balls back in your court here. I can turn up wearing my shorts and look like a fool and be on time, or I can be late and... be dressed appropriately, she said. Get some pants, son. So I picked up a pair of pants. Little bonus as an ex-former crow. So I was purchasing.
What do you mean a little
pants.
Bonus?
Still registered on the VIP list.
What? Are you kidding me? How?
I don't know.
What? She says you're a VIP. You're entitled
she
to a
said,
discount.
Hang on, you've got a.
Oh. This is where you said, "Don't you know who I am?"
So yeah, all's well that ends well. It's
well
a ripping
done.
Photo.
Great photo. You look fantastic. Nice story by Big G too, Gilbert Gardner of the Herald Sun.
Nice bright red polo.
Hey, Michael is quoted, Dipper is quoted, but there's no quotes from
I'm
you.
All
I
business.
Mean, you're not represented.
I don't talk before big events. I'm all business.
Oh, we'll let our actions do the speaking
exactly
on the track.
Right. Exactly right.
Well done. You made it anyway. It was a good event. Who was emceeing? Who tied it all together?
Big Teeth. Michael Felgate.
Right.
Took care of proceedings.
Went well, smooth.
Yeah, not bad.
How did he welcome Dipper, Brownlow medalist?
What is he, five-time
Premiership player?
Premiership player.
Brownlow
lost
medalist.
Lost three grand finals as well and played in VFL grand finals.
Yeah, Hall of Famer, etc. The list goes on and on. There's too many to, and the jockeys as well. And then how did he welcome you?
Oh, a little bit rudely, but that's all right.
What do you mean rudely?
Said my best achievement in footy was losing to the Tigers and the Granny. Bit rich coming from you, mate.
That's seriously...
What have you ever done on a footy field?
That's how we opened up. How'd you take that?
That's how he brought me in. It's all right.
Blimey.
He'll keep.
That's a bit rough.
He'll keep.
That is a bit rough for a while. It's one thing to slip it in later on as a
Mr.
gag.
Mr. 0.2, he'll keep.
Well, now you're talking ratings.
Don't even know what it means. It doesn't sound good, though.
You have jumped onto our side of the fence. I think you took a couple of digits off him, too, but that's okay. Hey, we better
off
get to
him
the...
or give them...
No, off him.
Oh, sorry.
But that's okay. It's in the family. Hey, we better get to matters ashes last night because the women got things done and we drew first blood against the English.
Yes.
A spectacular game at the Adelaide Oval. It was a T20 clash, as we spoke about yesterday. And there was one particular hero that made it possible. She was a standout performer. And I think that's why Jeff in Manor Lakes wants to talk about. He's rung in. G'day, Jeffrey.
G'day, guys. I've got a challenge for you this morning. I want you to find me a better all-round performance in a T20 than Talia McGrath. 93 runs and 3 wickets. It's just outstanding.
Not a bad performance, was it, Jeff? So, I mean, England were going great guns for a time. It looked like they were going to get to 190 at one point. I mean, as it was, Australia chased down the biggest score in T20 history in this country, I think, Jeff, but for a women's game. But she's taken 3 for 26 off her 4 overs to put the brakes on. And then I think smacked an unbeaten 91, but from 49 balls as well, Jeff.
That's right. It's just unbelievable. I must admit I was flicking between the two, and I did go to bed a little bit early because I had to get up early, and that's why I'm talking to you now. But, you know, when I heard what she'd done, you know, got the 93, like I saw her 50, I think I saw her get up to about 60-odd.
Yep.
And she was just smacking them all around the park.
No, she did. It was an unbelievable performance from the Aussies in general. So 13 boundaries as well in that innings from Talia, Jeff, and a big 6 in her knock. It was a 28-ball half-century that you witnessed. And, yeah, you were flicking between the tenors. I think we all were. Meg Lanning, 64 not out in the chase as well. So the Aussie strike.
I was going to say, Meg Lanning, not to be outshone. 64 off 44 was important.
And all the talk in the build-up was, of course, about Elise Perry not making the team. It sounds like she'll be back for the 50-over format and the one-off test as well. So the way it works in this seven-match multi-format series is that the T20s, the ODIs, are worth 2 points, JJ, and the one-off test represents a four-point haul. So anyway, the Aussies have struck first. Great call from you, Jeff. It was worth watching, that's for sure. Just on what Jeff was flicking over to. Hey, by the way, with Talia McGrath, just thinking, Talia McGrath, could that catch on?
Could do.
Yeah, we might. I've heard that somewhere before. We could roll on with that.
Deserves her own
she does.
Little slogan if she's going to continue to play like that.
Great performance. Hey, the tennis last night. I mean, Nick Kyrgios had his moments early, just lost his composure a bit in that first set tiebreak. We'll break it all down with BP later. But, geez, just speaking generally, talk about fire and ice. I mean, as we know, our man... he's emotional, a lot of self-talk, a lot of umpire talk. You just feel his whole bundle is balancing on a wire all the time. And then there's the Russian Medvedev, who's quieter than a church mouse, does not say a single word. Some classic rallies in this match last night. I've just got to ask you, though. My cringeworthy meter was off the Richter scale at one point, and it was at the end of the match. Not for the first time, though. I ask you, did we embarrass ourselves last night at the Australian Open? This Sue stuff? It's just rubbish, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was a mix of jeering and booing throughout the match as well, the best I could tell. But why now with the Sue anyway? Ronaldo's been doing it for years, and it suddenly emerged at Melbourne Park, and it's bloody irritating.
Well, why has Pokemon come back into vogue? It's gone now, though, isn't it? With the departure of Aussie Nick, it'll cease, won't it?
Well, Daniil Medvedev...
He wasn't happy.
He wasn't a happy chappy. He knows he's up against it. He's playing Nick Kyrgios at the Australian Open. But to get into him between serves, on a break point, when he faults, and they're already celebrating a double. I mean, and then when he's doing his interview post-match, good on him for calling it out. This is some of his post-match interview with Jim Courier last night.
You sometimes show more emotions than we saw tonight. You were incredibly calm and focused. Was that part of your strategy coming out here, dealing with what Nick and the crowd can bring to a night like this?
Yeah, I mean, that's the only choice when you get booed between first and second serve. It's not easy, so you just had to stay calm and win the match.
I know. I think they're saying Sue, which is a soccer thing, a football thing.
Sorry, I can't hear you.
I'll try it again.
Guys, I can't hear him, please. Show some respect for Jim Courier. He won't hear, guys. Thank you. Let him speak, please, guys. If you respect somebody, at least respect Jim Courier.
J, Geez, it was ugly. It was really ugly. Not our finest moment. That's
listening to that second time round here, it's pretty ordinary, isn't it?
He went further too, Medvedev.
It's very ordinary, actually.
He was speaking with ESPN off the court in the interview room afterwards. He went a little bit further with his thoughts on the crowd as well.
I had a few moments on my serve. Many games were actually quite easy for me, a lot of aces. A few moments were tough where he managed to make some good returns. Then I have a breakpoint second serve and people are cheering like you already made a double fault. And I mean, that's just disappointing because it's not everybody who is doing it, but those who are doing it probably have a low IQ.
A low IQ. It was a shame. The booing,
he'd
the
taken
suing.
The high road all the way through and then he just had to give us a rightful little clip.
He was simmering inside, wasn't he, match.
Oh, you've got a feel for him because he's one of the great tennis players in all of the world, deserves a lot of respect and admiration, and it would have been incredible. He would have expected, and you understand that you're going to go and play an Aussie in his backyard. You're not going to be the preferred player, but you know, with that level of performance, you deserve some respect and some admiration. So you can understand where he's coming from.
And whether it was Sue or whether it was Boo or mainly the former, sometimes the latter, maybe it was both. I mean, it's just embarrassing for us again. It's like that Simpsons episode with the crowd. When Monty Burns, remember, were you a Simpsons viewer? When Monty Burns has his own movie?
Infrequently, I was.
And there was a premiere and the booing starts and Smithers tries to cover it up.
Smithers, are they booing me?
No, they're saying Boo Earns. Boo Earns.
Are you saying Boo or Boo Earns?
I was saying Boo Earns.
Gotta love The Simpsons. There's an episode for every single scenario in life, a bit like Seinfeld. And it was a shame because it overshadowed, I thought, one of the great entertaining performances from Nick Kyrgios. Okay, he had his moments where he blurred the lines, but for a time there, this was absolutely compelling viewing. Absolute box office, JJ, and Twitter was going off on how entertaining it was. Kane's texting, "Hey, lads, I usually get into Kyrgios, usually because of a lack of effort, but credit where it's due. That's all we ask for from Nick. He's putting effort like that in every game. He was just beaten by the better player with a better preparation, but he was that rally I was talking about, the tweener running back between the legs, and then the winner, the celebration. Jeez, the stands nearly caved in.
The thing is now for Nick, if he can play at this level consistently, he won't have to play the world number two or the number two seed so early in the tournament in the second round because he'll avoid those types of players. So that's his challenge, isn't it? To not just to be able to show up for the Australian Open when it's probably the easiest to find motivation. He needs to be able to do it all year round. So we'll watch with interest.
Medvedev, great player, but sticks and stones might break my bones, but names will never hurt me. That's from Chris in the CBD here in Melbourne. Hey, last night, we're going to speak to Bryce Cotton later, and it won't be about border and border policies and Mark McGowan, and it won't be political. It'll be about basketball. But last night, geez, I was feeling sorry for the people at WA, the sports teams I include in that, you know, because it is family first. People haven't seen family members out that way and vice versa for a long time, but the business of sports. So WA's professional teams, shocked last night after the Premier Mark McGowan announced that February 5 border opening date, which was enormously anticipated, would instead be delayed and delayed indefinitely with no finish line in sight. You feel for the people over there. Perth Glory owner Tony Sage put it like this with the West Australian, "We're effed." He didn't muck around, Sagey.
Well, ordinarily when you see on the news these big announcements and as soon as they throw to the opposition, I think, I don't want to hear it because your job is to be obstructive and to criticise. But I actually agreed with, I can't recall it, it just popped up on the news before. But again, at the risk of getting involved in these political situations, but it just feels like West Australia burying their head in the sand. It's the Omi, the Cron, it's coming eventually.
Yeah, I know. I saw Matty Pavlich tweet.
Delaying the inevitable.
Yeah. Yeah, Pavlich weighed in on Twitter. And anyway, all those teams, Wildcats, Glory, harder. Lynx, Fremantle and West Coast, what does it mean for them? AFLW season's up the creek as well if you're a West Australian team. So anyway, we'll break that down a little bit further a little bit later on. Craig's text in, the tennis was awesome. It was amazing viewing, Craig. And JJ, I think you got the discount on your threads because you went in and you did the power stance. That's from Adam.
Didn't have to read that one out, but Thanks for doing that anyway.
Oh, I felt compelled to read it out. Any mention of the power stance, so I'll do my best to mention in here. Hey, it's Fun Friday. It's January 21. BP to come. Bryce Cotton, the best baller in Australia. Libby Birch as well. Melbourne AFLW star. Plenty to get through. We're here for Kogan. Make the switch to a great value credit card and Garage Doors Redefined. 4DDoors.com.au.
Kogan, make the switch to a great value credit card. Visit koganmoney.com.au. Smarter, quieter, safer. Garage doors redefined. Discover more at 4ddoors.com.au. Summer breakfast on SEN.
Off the temper text, just heard the tennis interview. Utterly disrespectful. Unfortunately, the rise of the Bogan. We went to Rod Laver Wednesday night. There was a group of young Aussie supporters, male and female, who barely watched. Felt the need to yell out mindless crap every now and then and talk through every point, disrupting everyone else's enjoyment of the matches. It seems people feel they're entitled to be rude these days. Disappointing. That one is from Rowan and Robin Ballarat. I really don't like the booing either, but I think Medvedev may have put a target on his back with those comments. I certainly hope not, Rob. I actually hope the opposite. Mm. I hope more people might get behind him and support him after that. Good on him for...
Well, he's a highest-seeded player in the tournament, so we should at least give him some level of respect. Don't
indeed.
Have to insult him every time he plays.
A bit like how you were introduced yesterday out there at the Rapid Racing Lodge.
Yeah, that's right. That's all good.
The best thing he ever did was lose to Richmond in the 2017 Grand Final.
We can let it go.
Yeah, we can.
We can just put it in the memory, mate. And
bring will you be welcomed like that on SEN Track tomorrow, which Jeff's asking if you're appearing on track?
I am, yes. 12 till 6, Moonee Valley and other tracks.
In your element there, aren't you?
Yeah, it'll be good.
Something else has caught your eye, though.
Yeah, what about... Zara Rutherford, a name that won't be familiar to many, a British/Belgian pilot, the youngest ever to fly around the world. 155 days it took her.
Oh.
52,000 kilometres of flying, visited 41 countries, had to battle things like the obvious levels of fatigue, boredom, loneliness up in the sky by herself in a light plane. It was a very small plane. She had to battle Californian wildfires. She had to fight off ice in Russia, freezing over there, and she had to navigate her way through, and I think more so around North Korean airspace.
Far out.
With the fear of being shot down. So she's only just landed back in Belgium, and she's smashed the world record for being the youngest ever pilot to fly around the world.
Just
imagine how long and how boring and how lonely you would feel.
Not for me. No, not for me. It's a bit like those four guys that made news this week. We didn't speak about it at the time. Those four Aussies who rode across the Atlantic. Can't remember exactly where they went. They finished in the... I don't even know where they started and where they left from, but it was a 5,000-kilometre voyage, and they rode in pairs, two at a time, 24 hours a day.
It always intrigues me, people wanting to do these.
Started off as a pub chat. But how many of those things start off as a pub chat, and then your sanity prevails, and you think, what the heck are we
it's
talking
like
about?
Like our man, SEN Track's own, Campbell Brown, deciding to swim the English Channel.
Indeed, and the tides were
madness.
Against him. What about, didn't he also do the ice marathon? I think he went through
down
with that
in
one.
Yeah, Antarctica, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Madness.
It's crazy. Well, great life experiences though, aren't they? So these guys did it in 34 days, 10 hours and 46 minutes, although we're hoping to. I'm not sure if they ended up breaking the record or not, but crazy weather, as you can imagine at times, and pretty bloody scary too, I would have thought.
What could you?
Nothing like that. Marathons.
You'd have to be a cycling.
Well, marathons is... sort of probably the most grueling event I've done a few cycling ones. Skydiving was pretty scary. I'm not going to do anything
what
like that.
What if you just said, trained yourself up and said, I'm going to ride a single ride off for as far as I can possibly ride? How far do you reckon you could go?
Don't know, but I don't really want to find out, to be honest.
Just have a guess.
I don't
put
know.
A number out
well,
there.
Well, the longest I've spent in the saddle is probably 9 hours.
How far did you ride?
It was up in the high country, so there was mountains at play. I think it was 235 kilometres and 4,000 metres of elevation or something. It was called Three Peaks. It's up Falls Creek, Mount Hotham.
Don't need your life story, just needed a distance.
Oh, there you go then. Only thing worse than booing is Aussie, 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 oi, oi, oi. That's from Mozza in Cobden off the
that's all right.
temper text. I'm sorry, lads, but the amount of hate Novak has copped over the years in every country and just got on with it and embraced it. And here is Medvedev sooking it up, needs to toughen up. Actually, just on Novak, he's the controlling shareholder, it's emerged this week, in a Danish biotech firm aiming to develop a treatment for COVID. He owns 80% of a company called Quant Bio Res. He bought in 2020. Now, this is not a vaccine. This is a medicine, if you like.
I don't imagine this is not a vaccine.
He's not a vaccine. So the company's working on a treatment instead, developing what they say is a deactivation mechanism for COVID-19. And Novak is a majority shareholder in the company. It's a bit like, did you ever watch The Wire?
No.
Such a great story. So many great characters. You know, Lester Freeman, listeners will know, was one of them, the detective with the Baltimore police. Now, as Lester said, when you follow the money...
You follow drugs, you get drug addicts and drug dealers. But you start to follow the money, and you don't know where the f*** is going to take you.
John's texted. Jeez. What Medvedev said will only gain him more support. I agree with you, John. I thought it was great. I also thought it was brilliant when he backed over and really made a point, showed real class to me and real conviction, wasn't it, to stand up in that sort of situation.
Yeah, he deserved to stand up and have his say because he was doing an interview because he'd won the match.